is we're going to dedicate a child. We're going to present a child to the Lord. The child's name is Logan Samuel Elliott. Amen? I want you to look in your Bible to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Is there anything else that I further need to do? We will attempt the play. I know that I've not heard from Bonnie, so I've not heard to stop it. So I suppose that we will attempt it. And if we have to, we can come and be here and just tell people that we're not having it. But we will attempt. Is that okay? I know you guys really want to, and I want you to. So we will attempt. Amen. I want to pray for Jim. I knew when I was walking around a while ago. Jim, Craig, Joyce's husband. Praise God. He had a heart attack. Things that doctrines of men have put upon us so that we can get a purer sense of the Word of God. Lord, bring us to the place where we're not like your hometown, where you could only do some teachings and heal a few sick folks. Bring us to the place, Lord, where we can do mighty exploits in you. Take away the doctrines that destroy our faith and that make the Word of God of none effect. Bring us to the place, Lord God, where we totally and absolutely believe the Word of God, that we won't let our flesh, our pride, or anything hinder us. We'll do what the Word says to do. Father, we remember now Jim Craig. Father, we thank you for your miraculous healing power that you already touched him with. And Lord, even as I was sitting there, I heard the doctor say myself, it was a serious heart attack. But Lord, in a few days, you have touched him. You've got him home, walking, shopping. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just lift him to you now. We ask you to continue to minister to him. Father, we thank you for Galen's good report, for her dad. Father, how that you can bring, even into subjection, alcoholism and bondages of the flesh and bondages of the devil. And you can release within us a right spirit. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for ministering amongst us and through us. And truly, Lord, as we sang the song, we want to be more like you. We want to be a vessel that you work through. Allow us now, Lord, to see in your word perhaps something we've never seen. Allow us, Lord, to bless Logan Samuel Elliott. In the name of Jesus we pray. We all say, amen. Amen. I'm always amazed at the rumors or the tales that are told about our church. One of them is that we go through this service that we make mothers that have had children virgins again. This is that service, by the way, if you're wanting to know what this is that service. But that's not what we're going to do. What we're going to do is present Logan Samuel Elliott to the Lord. I don't know of a service that you can go through that will make a woman a virgin again. We can go through services that will cleanse you and purify you by the blood of Jesus Christ and bring you into Him and do those kinds of things. But I don't know. You know, it's just amazing sometimes the things that get out. But this is the service where the type of a service that we dedicate children, or that we present children to the Lord would be the proper biblical term. And here in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 21, we see the parents of Jesus Christ, the earthly parents of Jesus Christ, we see them doing what the covenantal aspects of the Mosaic covenant asked them to do and told them to do. They were being obedient to the Word of God. And in Luke 2:21, it says this, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." And I want to take just a few moments here and work through this, if you'll allow me. It's always interesting to me to think about these passages of Scripture, because more times than not, when children are born, their name has been conceived before they were. And I'll use Jody and Bonnie as examples. Though they're not even married yet, they have already named their children. They know what their first one's going to be named and their second one, and they know what the first girl was going to be named and the first boy's. They already have done this. How many of you relate to this? Before the child was even conceived, the name. And the angel comes to Mary, and you know how he did that, and he came to Mary in a vision and spoke to, his name will be called Jesus, for he will sozo, he will save his people from their sin. Now, this is what the scripture is referring to here. And it's interesting to me because more times than not, even as girls and children are growing up, they name their babies. They name their baby dolls, and they carry these names even into marriage with them, and these names are very serious. And I really believe that God, what He does in His infancy is He puts into the hearts of the parents the names of the children, because names are vitally important in Scriptures. As you study Scriptures and as you're a student of the Word of God, and if you hear me talk much about the Word of God, you'll see how vitally important a name is. Because in the Bible, the name is more than a noun that separates this person from that person. What a name does is actually put something upon that life that gives direction to that life. And that's what a biblical name does. And I really think, and I want to emphasize this, is that people really need to spend time praying and seeking God about the name of a child. They need to allow the Lord to put something into their heart. Every time I talk about things like this, I'm always reminded of a story. This really happened. There was this lady who had a baby in the hospital. So they brought the chart where they named the child, and so she hands it back to them, and they take it away, and see, she writes down there the name of the child. And so on the chart, they take it back, and the name of the child is Femali. F-E-M-A-L-E. Did you get it? Female. But she said, Femali. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of thought that went into the naming of that child. And they were asking her, why did you name the baby this? And, well, that was already the name. That was already on the birth certificate. The baby was a female. So she called it Femali. We need to give thought to the names of our children. And even before the baby was conceived, the name was. I believe that names are brought out of the very heart of God and put into the heart of the parent. It gives direction. It means something. Verse 22. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, covenant of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a type of the church. That's what we're doing today. To present him to the Lord. Now, how many knows that even Jesus Christ was presented to the Lord? It's very important that we present our children to the Lord. But did this service, this bringing this child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, was this the child's salvation? Does this work salvation for the child? Or is this a decision that even Jesus himself had to follow the steps of God in his life? What we're doing and what we'll be doing for Logan and what we've done for so many children is not for their salvation, it's for their presentation. Do you see this? It is vital that we present our children to the Lord. And in so doing, what we're really saying is, Lord, I know that you have given me these children to raise, and I'm going to do the absolute best that I can. I'm going to train them. I'm going to discipline them. I'm going to be an example for them. I'm going to do the very best that I can for the child, but I'm going to present them back to you. I'm giving them back to you, Lord. And I want you to really be the force and the thrust within their lives. So, they even brought Jesus. And if it's important for them to bring Jesus, how many believes that it's important for us to bring ours? And I really believe it makes a difference, folks. I really do. I believe it makes a tremendous difference when we present our children back to the Lord, or when we try to go on our own ways and raise them best we can. I really do. I believe if we bring them and present them to the Lord, that it makes a tremendous difference in their lives. Verse 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So this is what Joseph and Mary came to do. They brought Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple, type of the church, and brought him. You are the church. You are the temple of God. They bring him and they present him to the Lord. The point is that it's very important that we present our children to the Lord. The Lord Jesus had a lot of neat things to say about children in his ministry. One of those is in Matthew 18, Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, the disciples, and he said, Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on to say that those that are like little children become great in the kingdom of God. The thought is that we must learn to submit ourselves as a little child to Father. We've got to begin to see Him as Father. He's God, yes, but He's Father. And not only but that, but in our walk in life, we've got to learn how to submit ourselves as a little child does to his parents. We've got to learn how to submit ourselves to authorities in our lives. There is a tremendous blessing that comes through authority. And, it's a bad word to us, and we don't like authority because it's the Adamic nature. But if we'll ever understand authority, it is a covering, and it is a blessing in our life. Example, we came home last night from the hospital. We got home, and my son was laying in his bed, and he had 101-plus temperature. We went into his room. He had this heater thing going in there, and it must have been 200, maybe 500 degrees in this room. It was hot, and he was under the covers, and he was shivering. And so I went, and I prayed for him. And we added to that prayer Tylenol and cough medicine, which he had already taken, by the way, but we just added a little more. Okay, so we go downstairs. I fix me some nacho cheese, and we sit around, and so we go back up in a little while, and I check on him. I go in, and he's got the cover off of him, and he's laying there watching television. How you feeling? I feel a lot better. Now, what is my point? I believe, because of his submission to me as Father, because of his submission to me, that I can have control of some things and things that want to attack his life. And I believe that I have a power and an authority to pray over him that nobody else has because he has properly and in orderly submitted to me. Do you understand that? And there are things in our lives that except we become as a little child and submit to the authority that God has placed into our lives, that unless we do that, it just won't happen. People can pray all the prayers they want to do, but if you're not properly in that order of submission and the proper blessings of God, it just won't happen. Husbands, submit to your own husbands. And the wives, whoa! Yeah, I can do that today. That'll work. Hey, that'll work today. But let's do the Bible. That's what the Scripture says. Wives, wives, submit to your own husbands. And he gives the order of this in 1 Corinthians 11. The head of the woman is who? The man. The head of the man is who? Christ. The head of Christ is who? Father. So we have this chain of order here that brings the blessings into our home. And when sometimes we find homes that are so out of order that there is no way God's going to bless it or can bless it, even if He wants to, because it's so messed up. I really messed it up, didn't I? That'll work today, though. Just about, wouldn't it? I still believe God will bless that, though. But my point is that there is an order here of authority that I believe the Lord is pointing to here in this particular verse. Children have this submission to their parents. That should be worked into the child. And except we understand the principles here, we won't ever achieve what we should be able to achieve in the kingdom of God. Do you agree? Amen. The Lord Jesus blessed children. Matthew chapter 19, He blesses them, and they were there brought unto him, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Now, let me just take a second here. There is this thing in the church world where we have gotten away from the laying on of hands, and the laying on of hands will go from Genesis to Revelation. You can study it through Scriptures. There is this principle called the laying on of hands in the Scriptures. It is one of the foundations that Paul, or the author of Hebrews, talks about in Hebrews chapter 6. It is a foundation of the church. It is a foundation of Christ, the laying on of hands. And somehow the church world has got away from it. And because the church world has got away from it, then the people have got away from it because the people are the church. The buildings are not the church. The people are the church. Am I right? You are the temple of God. And so if you don't see your leadership and people in the church laying hands on one another, then you're not going to learn to lay hands on one another. And so when you go home and you may pray a prayer for your kid, and that's wonderful, I'm not slighting that, but there is an extra emphasis that can come when we learn to lay hands on one another. There is this laying on of hands principle. And Jesus laid hands on these babies. They brought them to him, so that he lays hands on them, and the religious people, the disciples, full of religion, full of doctrines of men, said, do what? No, we don't have to do that. Don't lay hands on them. He said, yes, we do. Suffer the little children to come to me. For such is what? This laying on of hands a part of the kingdom of God. Yeah. And we need to get back to that, folks. If you don't know about laying on of hands, study in the Scriptures. Get you a concordance. Go spend your $10-$15 this Christmas and buy you a concordance and start looking up the laying on of hands through the Scriptures. And you'll find out, man, it happens all the way through. There is this power. There is something that transpires with the laying on of hands. So they brought the little children to Jesus, and he said, yes, we are going to lay hands on them. And so when they bring little children to me, I say, yes, we are going to bless them. Yes, we are going to present them to the Lord. Yes, we are going to lay hands on them. I don't care what kind of stories they make up. I don't care what kind of rumors they get out about us. We're going to bless children. For such is the kingdom of God. Now, names are important, and I've already mentioned that. And I just wanted to, as I was preparing this morning and praying and trying to decide in what direction to go this morning, I want to just talk a few seconds about the naming of children. One of the funniest names that you find in all the Scriptures is when Isaiah named one of his children, or he named both of them, really strange names. He named one of them, the Lord came to him, I'll read the verse, and I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, call his name Mahershalal-Chazbar. Now that's one name, that's like Delbert. Mahershalal-Chazbar, and his last name would have been the son of Isaiah the prophet. But his first name was Mahershalal-Chazbar. That's his first name. That's his name. Like Joshua or Zach or any, you know, that's his first name. Now, the Lord came and told Isaiah to name his kid this. Now, what this name means is, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away from the king of Assyria. That's what this kid's name means. And the Lord came and told him to name this kid this name. I want to go back to the thought that I really believe that names are so important that the Lord puts into our hearts what we're going to name our children. How many knows that the Lord knows the child might surprise the parents? But he has not surprised the Lord. She has not surprised the Lord. The Lord knew for the foundations of the world what this child's name would be. And there is a purpose and a divine order that this person or this child is going to partake of and do. The days of his life or her life is written in a book. Even Mahershalal-Chazbaz. And the reason I'm saying all this is because I want to relate a story here at the church to us. And in 2 Samuel 12:24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. This was after the time that the baby died. And went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he, David, called his name Solomon. That was David's idea of what to call the kid. And the Lord loved him. The Lord loved Solomon. And the verse goes on to say, and he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, the Lord sent Nathan the prophet, and he, Nathan, called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Now the Lord wanted him, he allowed Solomon, they put that in, so the kid was called Solomon, all through the Scriptures he was called Solomon, but the Lord had something else he wanted to do there. He named him Jedidiah. Now, the reason that I'm sharing this with you is that we have a child in our congregation named David Jedidiah. And it's Steve Weaver's and Deborah Weaver's little boy. His name is David Jedidiah Weaver. And the way this happened was that they just didn't want to name their kid Jedidiah. I mean, that's just not something you just go do. But Steve really felt of the Lord, didn't you, Steve? You felt in your heart that this would be the child's name, and he prayed about it. How many know you pray about something like this before you name your kid Jedidiah? But he and David prayed about it, and they determined that this was what the Lord would have this child name. Call him David, praise God, but his name is David Jedidiah, and it means beloved of Jah, or beloved of God. And he is a sweet little guy, isn't he? My point is that the Lord puts into our hearts what we name our children. And it means something. It's something that should be prayed about. It's something that should be looked into. But it's the Lord's will. This child that we're about to present to the Lord is named Logan Samuel. You guys want to bring him on up? And though this baby, and through even his name, I saw that this morning, though Logan Samuel was sort of a surprise to Susan, to Susan's mom and dad, he was not a surprise to God. How many believe that? Just come stand right over here, right beside me. This is Logan Samuel Elliott. And what I like to do when I present children to the Lord is I like to look at their name, because that was, they called his name Jesus because, and I think at this particular time it's very important to see what the child's name is, because that's what the angel said his name would be called to Mary. That was emphasized in Luke 2, where we read in 21. What I like to do when we present children to the Lord is look at their names and see their names, because we will get directions for their life, what their life is going to do. And then the Lord will minister to the child through a prophetic word, through speaking over the child, what is going to happen into his life. It begins the process. It began it with Jesus. It will begin it with all of us. So I didn't have any problems with Samuel. I could find Samuel real quickly in the Hebrew, and it was not a problem. But I had some problems with Logan. Logan is not a biblical name, at least not that I'm aware of, and I couldn't locate it. So I had to break it down best I could into its derivatives and come with what I believe the Spirit of God would want to speak over Logan's life today as we present him to the Lord. So I broke it down into Logan or Lo-Gasha, and what I found out is that this word Lo is used several hundred times, 140 something times I think, in the Scriptures. And I used the Spirit of God really impressed upon me about three of these to bring as we present him to the Lord. And the first time that it's used is in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 11. And here Noah's on the ark, and he sends out this dove, and the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth, I had never noticed that it was a female dove before, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off, so Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. But lo, now what the word basically means in the Hebrew, and also into the Greek, is behold, to see. It means behold and see, and then in, even in the Greek, it takes on the thought of to know. So when the dove came back, Noah knew that the waters were abating off of the earth. There is a knowledge, there is a knowing, there is a seeing, a beholding, an understanding that comes with this word lo. And I want to say this, that I really believe that this child in his life is going to have a lot of knowledge. And I think it's going to be, and I'll maybe work some of these things in to it as we progress, but I really think it's going to be necessary to discipline the child and make him be smart, if that's possible. But he's going to be used of the Lord, and he's going to know a lot of things, and you're going to have to discipline him. You're going to have to make him study, make him do these things, so that he will fulfill his will, fulfill the will of the Lord for his life. But lo, and then again in Judges concerning Samson, the angel of God came to Samson's mother and says, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. And once again, my point here is that though Logan surprised Susan and Grandma and Grandpa and a lot of folks, he did not surprise God. Are you with me now? And the child is blessed. And the child is going to be bright. And the child has a will. Before the foundations of the world, God knew Logan was going to be here. And God has a plan and a purpose, just as he knew Samson would be there, and that Samson would minister to the people, and Samson would defeat the Philistines. He knew, too, that Logan was going to be here. And then the last one, Jesus himself using it, or it's spoken of, Jesus isn't using it. But concerning Jesus, concerning this time of the year, I was impressed to use this one in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And what's that talking about? Star of Bethlehem. I really believe that the Lord God is going to use Logan here as a star to bring a lot of people to the Christ child. A lot of Gentile people. For that is what the star did. It brought the Gentiles to the Christ child. This child will be able to touch lives that you nor I could ever touch. He will be able to guide people to the Christ child that you or I would have no way of ever getting to. He is going to have a unique ability to transcend racial barriers and go in either direction. Think about it. He has already in his life destroyed racial barriers. He will be able to either to minister to the white or to the black. And I really believe that a lot of Gentile people will find Christ Jesus through Logan. What do you think? You agree with that? Amen. Gan, gosh. G-A-A-S-H. It's a primary word, and it means to agitate violently. It means a quaking or a quacking. You probably have already noticed this about him. How many knows that to fulfill the will of God in an individual's life, and I don't care what biblical character you look at, there's going to be a quaking. There's going to be a violence about the person that really makes people aggravated and agitated. I agitate people. I aggravate people. I don't know why. It's just the way I am. I don't mean to and I don't intend to, but it's my nature. It's the way God has made me. And I quack and I quake and I won't leave things alone. Even though I know they're bothering people, I keep quack, 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 quack. And I quake and I shake and I keep on with something until I feel like it has run its course and fulfilled its purpose. And this is what I see here. I see that this Logan is going to lead people to Christ, but also through doing that, he's going to make a lot of people agitated and irritated. Again, racial barriers must come down before the church can ever become what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to become. There cannot no longer be black churches and white churches in the kingdom of God. Before Jesus Christ comes, you're not going to have that, folk. You can't have that. And there cannot be that. The most segregated, you've heard me say it over and over again, the most segregated time in the United States of America is at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. And this guy, I really believe, is going to quack, quack, and quake, quake, and he's going to transcend these barriers, and God's going to use him to bring people to the Christ child. Lo. Yeah. Samuel is easy. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about, after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord." Samuel simply means heard of God, and as you trace it back into its derivatives, you find it means to hear intelligently, its strength, and its mighty. I really believe that God has a plan for Logan, and it's got to do with intelligence. I think the enemy will come and try to bring people across his life like the Hophnis and the Phinehases. And I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Samuel, but Eli, the predecessor of Eli, had two sons, one named Hophni, one named Phinehas, and they were very, very carnal ministries. They laid with the women in the temple and they went into the pots with their hooks and they were very, very bad ministry. And I really believe that the Lord God will bring across Logan, Samuel's life, Hophni's and Phinehas. And they must not be allowed to penetrate him. You got to beware of this. So that he will maintain an open vision. That's what Samuel did. He had an open vision to God. For the Bible says there was no vision at that time. The enemy will come. He will try to come into his life. He will try to distract him and deter him. That's the caution that I really sense to give you this morning. Beware of relationships, for the enemy will attempt to defile him with the Hophnis and Phinehases of the world. Make him study. Make him learn. Make him be a light. Lo, behold, the star led them. Now, the word of the Lord that came to me as I prayed this morning and as I sought the Lord, and the word of the Lord that I'm speaking over his life, and I want to lay my hands over him and speak, is this word. And I want to make sure that I don't leave any of it out because it's such a good word from God. And I want to bless him with it. I want to lay hands on him. I want to bless him with the word of God. I want to activate this. And I want to release him into his ministry. So what I want to do now is I want to bless him. And I want to lay hands on him, just as Jesus would have done. And I just want to bless him. And I want to read this. The Lord is showing me that Logan will grow to be a man to behold. He will learn early to overcome barriers and walls the enemies placed before him. Though he surprised his mother and grandparents, he was no surprise to the Lord. From the foundations of the world, father had a plan for Logan, Samuel Elliott. Logan will agitate people and come, and some people will be agitated violently. It will be as though he doesn't know when to stop quacking and when to stop quaking. He just keeps on going. Once he begins something, he will continue until the end. I believe he will be used as Lo, the star which was Saul, was used. He will lead many to Christ. He will lead the Gentiles in a way no other star could lead. He will find the olive leaf for people in distress and begin to bring people into a safe place and security. Amen. I believe Logan will hear the Lord as did Samuel. I believe God will use him mightily. Amen. We bless you, Logan. We bless you. We bless you with the blessings of God. May God take your life and use it mightily. Amen. Amen. May these that God has put into your life protect you, watch over you. And we just send a word right now, even to your dad, even to your husband, and we just say, Lord God, let him be the example that Logan needs in his life right now. We bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. We present him to the Lord. Amen. Amen. God bless. Kick it, Susan. Like this. Hallelujah. Amen. We presented him to the Lord, as the scriptures say. It is now 1:45. Anybody have a word? Interpretation? Psalm? Tongue? Tonight at 7 o'clock. Don't forget that. It's not at 6 tonight. It'll be at 7. Probably need to get a note out there, too, at 7 o'clock. Well, you guys will be here, I'm sure.